Isaiah 53, continuing every word all year. Actually, so as you read this next week, you'll come to the passages that we're looking at today. And there are several times when you'll see the suffering servant motif. You'll see the suffering servant motif that just pictures Jesus. I mean, this is generations before angels speak to shepherds on a hillside. This is generations before Bethlehem. This is generations before wise men and King Herod and all the rest. But there's no denying this is Jesus we're talking about in Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And the thing that it brings you to is the thing that Jesus has done for us that honestly only Jesus could do. What Jesus has done for us that only Jesus could do. Because you've tried, haven't you? You've tried to be good enough, right? You've tried to be faithful enough, haven't you? You've tried to be consistent enough, to be disciplined enough. You've tried to be good enough, haven't you? And you can pull it off sometimes, right? For a day or so at a time. Well, maybe not a whole day, but a few hours at a time, right? You know, if it's on Sunday while you're here, you can pull it off for a few minutes at a time. But here's the thing I've come to understand. I've come to understand that I can't string together very many minutes that I don't need Jesus. I can't string together very many encounters where I don't need Jesus. I can't string together very many exchanges between me and anybody else that don't need Jesus. Can I get an amen? So I want to invite you into some questions that maybe could just frame our time. So here's one. Where has Jesus come from to get to you? In order to save you, in order to reach you, how far has Jesus had to come? He left the splendor of heaven. How far has Jesus had to come in order to reach all the way to you? For some of you, some of us, Jesus had to go to some pretty dark places to reach my soul, to reach your soul. Jesus had to go into some places where Jesus wasn't welcome to save you off a bar stool, maybe, or from the back seat of a car, or from a relationship that was taking you under and wouldn't let you up. Where has Jesus had to come from? How far has Jesus had to come in order to reach you? Because you know the verse, right? God so loved his son that he sent. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. What has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus had to do for you? What has Jesus had to take on? Because there's this line, we'll see it in a minute. He has borne our sins and carried our sorrow. What has Jesus had to do for you? What has he had to get a shoulder under on your behalf? What has Jesus had to rescue from? What has Jesus done for you? And then let me ask you this. And this is a weird question, I guess, but what's it worth to you? I mean, clearly it's worth a Sunday morning every so often, yeah? What's it worth to you? How far Jesus had to come, what Jesus had to do, what's it worth to you? Clearly it's worth this. It's worth, you know, enduring, you know, an hour on a Sunday. But what if it's worth more? What if it's worth your life? What if it's worth your loyalty? What if it's worth becoming a better man? What if it's worth becoming a different person? Let's walk through this together. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I read one translation. I think it was the Message translation. It says, who would have thought that salvation would look like this? Who would have thought? Who would have thought that salvation would come barefoot and crying, somewhere in the Middle East in the first century. Who would have thought salvation would look like this? Who would have thought salvation? Who would have thought salvation would have looked like Jesus coming all the way to where your broken mess of a life had landed? Who would have thought that salvation would look like this? Who has believed our report? Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. No beauty, no majesty to attract us. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Despised, rejected, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. You know why it describes Jesus that way? You know why it describes Jesus that way? Because that's what your life looks like apart from God. It's what my life looks like apart from God. Have you ever found yourself in a place where it felt like your life was nothing but baked clay? And if anything was going to grow like a shoot, a tender shoot out of dry ground, if anything was going to grow there, something was going to have to crack. Something was going to have to open up. Something was going to have to emerge in order for anything to happen in a life as dry and cooked is yours. Why did Jesus have to come all the way there? Because he had to come all the way to us. Like a shoot out of dry ground, no beauty, no majesty, because there was no, you know, think about it, guys. When God so loved us, there really wasn't much to love about us. Tender shoot, dry ground, no beauty, no majesty, nothing in appearance that we should desire him. Despised and rejected. Have you ever been there? How far has he had to come to reach you? Despised and rejected, suffering and pain. Some of you, when you came in and saw the spread this morning, some of you, something in your heart said, oh no, here we go again. Because this triggered you. Because you've known what it is, suffering and pain, in the context of church, in the context of trying to find a place with God. The reason he was a man of suffering and familiar with pain is because he's familiar with you and he's familiar with me. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. We esteemed him not. Surely he took up our pain. He bore our suffering. He bore our sorrow. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But the fact is, it was for our transgressions. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone turning to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everybody needs Jesus. You, me, all of us. When we come to the Lord's table and we take that little piece of bread, the body broken, we take that little cup of juice, the blood shed, we take it, we're reminded that we all share the same lostness. And we all share the same love from God. But what does it look like? When it says, we all like sheep have gone astray, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let me take you just a few chapters back to Isaiah chapter 50. What does it look like? What does it look like for Jesus to take our sin and bear our sorrow? Isaiah chapter 50, beginning at verse 4, it says, The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know a word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as one being instructed. God has spoken. He's given Jesus the words to say. He's given Jesus the heart to hear the very things that we need. And it says, he awakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. Let me invite you to picture this. Jesus, as he grows in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, as he makes his way from the baby in the manger to the boy in the temple to the man at the river. God is growing him and stretching him and growing him into the mission that he has called him to. He wakens my ear morning by morning by morning by morning How do you grow in Christ? How do you become the man that God has called you to be? How do you become the woman that God has called you to be? Is it not in the dailiness of following hard after Jesus? Is it not in the multiplying of days with a heart that says, God, I don't want to miss what you're doing. God, if you've got something to say, God, I want to hear it. God, if you've got a call on my life, the answer is already yes. God, I want to follow you. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear the sovereign Lord, Isaiah 50 verse 5, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears and I have not been rebellious. I've not turned away. And then it says, I offered my back to those who beat me. I offered my face to those who would pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from the mocking and the spitting because the sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. What does it look like for Jesus to bear our sins and carry our sorrows? It looks like one who is willing to meet us wherever we had fallen. Remember the height from which you've fallen? It looked like one who was willing to come all the way to you, regardless of what hurt you had been trapped by, what addiction had gotten its claws into you, what burden, what grudge, what angst was in your heart. He was willing to come all the way to you. All the way. I've not turned away. I offered my back. I offered my face. I didn't hide my face from the mocking and the spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. There was this stupid commercial a while back that said, it's only weird if it doesn't work. Can I tell you something? There would be nothing more ridiculous than Jesus doing what he did, coming where he came, if it wasn't going to work. But it works. It works that the God of the universe knows your heart, knows where you've fallen, knows where to come to your rescue, to come to your aid. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Let me pray that over you just right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, you who know us, Lord, you who vindicate our lives, you who validate the fact that we are created with eternity in our hearts, you loved us enough to come. Lord, would you come? Would you meet us here? In Jesus' name, amen? Isn't that what you long for? Let me give you this one. You don't have to turn there because you're in Isaiah, but let me give you this one. It's in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, this is love. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We've been singing about it all morning. The price you paid, Lord Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is love. Wouldn't it be great if you could love God first? Wouldn't it be great? You know, but you can't because there's nothing in you about that. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And that somehow, in response to that, God has lifted my chin to look to him. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And that he sent his son an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Precious ones, let me give you another. It's in Hebrews. It says this. You want to come to God? You want to find your place before God? Maybe it's been a long time for you. You want to find your place before God? Since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near.